Let's just roll this thing out. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is, that is my throat. My throat. It's Monday, November 18th, 8:59 a.m. I'm sorry, 7:59. 7:58. 7:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. November 18th, 2024. I am here with my dog, one of my cats. Of course, as soon as I start talking, the dog starts scratching at the floor. Hopefully that'll end soon. We have a few things to get into this morning. Some interesting stuff happening. We have scratchy scratch scratch. Oh, you know what? I also need to do something else. Just hang on just 1 second. I have to turn off my... Where that thing kicks on. I have a dehumidifier down here. I'm at the home studio. Tomorrow morning, possibly, very possibly, might have a show from the worldwide headquarters. It might also happen on Wednesday. I'm not sure if it's going to happen tomorrow or Wednesday. Wednesday, I've got to travel. I got to go to Dallas on Thursday. I'm sorry. Thursday, I go to Dallas. Thursday, I go to Dallas, and it's possible that I may do a show from the studio, the worldwide headquarters. Now, Friday, I will be in Dallas. Most likely not make it home until late in the day, so it's Friday's show is a little bit up in the air. But in the meantime, there should be a show every day this week with the potential of Friday. We don't know. So right now, I do have some recording stuff that I'm working on for some sound bites to kind of emphasize a few things. But let me get into some things. We have the cup report. The cup report, which I think is that this one? No, that's something else. I think it's... Yeah, this is... There we go. What's the cup report? We have... in my cup, we have Big Train chai, my favorite creamy vanilla chai with Almond Joy creamer. In my backup cup this morning, I have a little something different. I have a slight bit of apple cider, but it's also got Joe's peach tea. The label on it just says Joe peach tea. I have a feeling they probably had somebody else's Joe's peach tea. They probably patented that or copyrighted that. And so it's just Joe peach tea. This is Joe peach tea. It's not my peach tea. It's Joe peach tea. We have a few things to get into. Been happening in the news. I don't know where to start with this. There's a lot of segments now out there. It seems like lefties losing it. It seems to become a very popular theme among a lot of different broadcasters out there. Of course, Sky News Australia started lefties losing it as just this little 5-minute thing. They were just had one or two people doing something crazy. This time around, it seems that they've been quenched to some extent. I think last time in 2016, when Trump won, it was such a shock that, and I think that they were so appalled and just so much disbelief that they actually came up with all these, they had to blame it on somebody, of course, they had all kinds of options then because there wasn't anything crazy going. So it was the Russians. And they had that dossier. And, of course, that was the dossier that Hillary Clinton paid for. And, of course, she was the first one that kind of came out and said, I think it was the Russians. I think it was, because she was kind of back there going, I think the Russians did something here. And all of a sudden they said, oh, it's the Russians. Oh, yeah, it's the Russians. Everybody said, oh, it's the Russians. The Russians hacked the election. Within 48 hours, everybody was saying the Russians hacked the election. Now, keep in mind, people were going nuts. There were people on Facebook who were my friends, people I've known all my life, went to high school with, They didn't directly say this to me, but they basically said, anybody who thinks it's okay for the election to be hacked, well, F you and, you know, blah, 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 blah. If you think it's okay that the Russians hacked our election, blah, 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 blah. They're all, you know, mad, extremely unhinged about it. I don't think it's okay that the Russians hacked our elections. I don't think the Russians hacked our elections in 2016. And of course, I was right. There was no collusion between the Trump administration, between the Trump family and the Russians. The Mueller report showed that. In fact, that poor guy, Mueller, made a fool of himself in that hearing. It was just, I don't know if he was just playing the doofus or if he actually was a doofus. I don't know what was going on there, but he didn't have any clue. So many things going on. He didn't even know about the dossier, supposedly. That's outside of my purview. But do you watch the news? Do you do anything? You would think that somebody would be more informed on what's going on with those kinds of things than somebody who just watches occasional YouTubes. So, you know, this 40-some million dollar supposedly investigation that I'm sure was more than $40 million came up with nothing on Russian collusion in 2016. So now they can't use that again. One of the things that I'm a little bit concerned about, I want to talk about this a little bit later, maybe, but Joe Biden now has supposedly, I guess they've really, for a long time, it was, we provide long-range missiles to Ukraine, but we have told them they're not allowed to use those long-range missiles to shoot into the interior of Russia. Why are we giving them long-range? Why are you giving someone something and telling them you can't use it? Where are they supposed to use it? Are they supposed to shoot those into China? Are they supposed to shoot them into Korea? Are they supposed to shoot them into themselves? What is this for? Why do you send somebody long-range missiles and then tell them they can't use them? I don't understand that. What's the purpose of having them? Just deterrent? And if you're not allowed to use them, then what's the deterrent for? So they are attacked, and they're being told they're not supposed to use them. Now, the reason for them not using them is because we would be drawn into this conflict. Since we're providing them to them and we're telling them, you know, here's some long-range missiles you can shoot into Russia with these. Well, apparently yesterday, or over the weekend at some point, Saturday or Sunday, I think it might have been Saturday, Joe Biden decided to visit the Amazon rainforest. And at the same time he was down at the Amazon rainforest, apparently he also made this deal with Zelensky and just decided to lift the sanctions on using long-range missiles into Russia. Well, this is going to get interesting. Why would you do that after you lost the election and all of a sudden, you know, the war is about to come to an end? You don't think this might escalate things a little bit, do you? So, of course, it wasn't even announced. All of a sudden, Russia shot long-range missiles into Ukraine, like 200 of them or something, some ridiculous number. Several casualties and a lot of buildings have been destroyed. My guess is they heard that this was going to happen. That's why they ramped it up. My guess is they're trying to take out targets where the long-range missiles are. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Russia's not the innocent little baby in this whole thing. Don't get me wrong. They basically instigated most of this. Now, of course, one of the issues, one of their excuses is that there was chatter about giving Ukraine NATO status, supposedly, and they're supposedly along their border there where Ukraine and there's all kinds of excuses that Putin had for this invasion of Ukraine. I don't think he expected it to last that long. I think he expected to take over all of Ukraine. He expected Zelensky to run off. Now, there's a lot of, they're very well entrenched there because of the nature of how corrupt the country is, and how much he, well, that's his livelihood is there. The guy's going to fight for this, you know, all of his wealth that he has there. That hasn't stopped, by the way. It's just increased because of all the oligarchs that are there that are funding everything behind the scenes. So this continues. It just continues to go on. Now, I don't know. I think they're concerned about the new administration coming in and what they're planning on doing here. They're planning on ending this. They're just going to end the war. Unless, you know, of course, now the other thing they can do is escalate this. Now, somehow, and I brought this up several times, and I'll bring it up again because this is very concerning for me, because I'm General Milley, if you don't forget, he said that Trump, between the election and the January 24th in 2020, between the inauguration and that President Trump somehow had some kind of plan to start a war with Iran so that he could stay in power. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. How does that work? Just because there's a war going on. We've had wars going on all the time. These never-ending wars. That doesn't stop us from changing the guard, changing administrations. Now, I don't know. And then there's this whole thing is such a mess. Now, see, this whole thing started out with Joe Biden, basically because of the internal polling. Apparently, here's how the whole story. Here's how it all unwound for the Biden administration. Biden was running, and apparently, you know, everything was going fine according to the polls that they had on the exterior polls. The interior polls that apparently Obama was doing internal polling, as well as the Biden administration, they're all kind of combining their internal polling, how things were going. Apparently, right after the very poor performance of the infamous debate, where Joe kind of flailed along, their internal polling showed that Donald Trump may reach possibly 400 electoral votes. 400 electoral votes. As it stands right now, I think it's 312. And the way I'm understanding it, he's also won the popular vote. In fact, he has more popular votes, more direct votes. I think 76 million, I think, was the last count. They're getting down to the final wire now. I think it was 76 million votes for Trump, which is the most any Republican candidate has ever received. Of course, not as much as the 81 million man. I don't know where those other people went. But apparently they just didn't show up this time. So they're concerned, I think, that, and of course, this is what I think has quelched some of this turmoil, some of the voices, is the fact that he won the popular vote, which I think it is, because they have harped on that for so many years since 2000. They've always talked about, well, we won the popular vote, but they won the electoral vote, we won the popular vote. Thinking that the country mostly, you know, didn't prefer them, but that they were not the most popular person. But now this is they can't say anything about it this time. Well, he won the popular vote. That means he's the most popular, because it's all about popularity. Pop. So, and of course, they're only blaming misogyny, racism, stupidity, just whatever you want to call it. You know, the voters, the electorate is basically stupid. Stupid racist misogynists, even though he increased votes from women as well. Some of the crazy wacko stuff that people are posting online is just absolutely insane. They are shaving their heads, painting their hair dye. They're blue. They're painting. They're getting tattoos. They're getting bracelets. They're going on strike. They're not going to have, I don't know, intercourse for good. Well, then you won't need an abortion. You know, the abortion thing won't matter then. If you're, I don't know if they maybe they haven't figured that out. that's, you know, abstinence is you know, the best form of birth control. Anyway, I just, they're just crazy. Okay, they're just out of their minds. He's taking away my rights. Who are these people that voted for against my rights? Well, it's, you have the right to be crazy, I guess. It's just, the insanity is, it's a tough one. So we have all this stuff going on with these wackos, and it's, yeah, I'm going to call them wackos because they are. They're wackos. They're just unhinged. It's mass psychosis. There's a problem here. We have people who are just off their rocker, and they're unbalanced. There's an issue. So there's that, and we have. So Joe Biden's doing this whole thing with the missile thing. One of the things that, like I was saying, that General Milley said that was going to happen was they were going to declare war. He was going to try to start a war with Iran. So are they going to start a war now somehow with, you know, to get us into a further escalated world war going on here? They are terrified of the cabinet that Trump is putting together. You know, I personally, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all the politics, and I think there's going to be some wishy-washy stuff going on from what I consider to be pure, the Puritan conservatism that I would like to see in our nation, you know, the getting back to the foundational ideals of our, you know, ideology of our founders. I think there's going to be some wishy-washy stuff there. However, we are headed in the right direction with that. However, I'm impressed, and I guess I'm hopeful that we will have a sane government again with regard to just getting things back in order. And I think it's going to take some drastic maneuvers. We are rapidly. I think we're increasing our debt by $2 trillion every year. The way I understand it. And that exponentially goes up. We're almost at the point where our whole GDP would have to pay for the interest on our debt. Now, that's kind of a crazy. The whole debt thing is all, it's all complicated because we have these bonds, we sell things, we can buy up, or we can print our own money, we can do. But that's what causes inflation when you have too much. You know, when the debt is out there and you can't, and you try to monetize it all. It's all at once. That's when we have rampant inflation because it actually resets what the value of the dollar is. Now, I don't know what they're doing. You know, BRICS is a whole other issue, the digital currency. They're talking about this digital currency, and it's just so many things happening right now. They're stirring the pot, trying to figure out how they're going to do this. Like I said, they're trying to try to – I've said this many times. They're going to try to just destroy the economy or set the economy up for destruction before January 20th. This is it's a bitter pill. It's a kind of a two-edged sword here because what ends up happening is, you know, the economy's already started to pick back up again. I mean, there's actually some good signs, good starting points that it looks like there's going to be some optimism on the horizon here in the markets and think what them people are doing. Especially in the energy sector. Along with this. What's going to end up happening is as this starts to unfold, it will make it, you know, the end of the Biden administration will look really good. So in other words, they will say, well, when Biden left office, the unemployment was here and the stock market was here, even though it was terrible before the election. The time between the election and the time that Biden steps out of office is a kind of a correction time because people are hopeful, they're looking forward to things. It's a positive outlook in anticipation of what's to come. So it makes them look better on record. So that way, 4 years later, when everybody forgets how bad it was right before the election, they can state these numbers and say, well, look, the stock market was, you know, record highs because when Joe Biden left office, you know, that's, we handed them this economy to them. No, you didn't. The economy wasn't that way. If Kamala would have won, I guarantee you our economy would be trending downward. The only stocks right now that aren't doing well are the big pharma stocks because of RFK Jr. And again, I don't necessarily agree with all of RFJK or Robert Kennedy's politics, his ideologies, but he certainly seems to have shot some fear into the big food, big, you know, the food industrial complex. Now there's this guy named what's this guy's name? He claims to be an expert on all that is military. he's got these, he does these little shorts all the time. Let's see what we got here. I can't think of his name. He's whenever I do shorts, he comes across all the time. See if I can find him here. Where's the shorts at? Here, let's just go through some of these. There's nothing there. Nothing there. Oh, I just missed Mark Dice this morning. Mainstream media is in a meltdown mode. By the way, they're MSNBC is apparently for sale. They're really concerned about the whole thing that nobody trusts them, and it's their viewership has depreciated. Like it's gone down like 50% or more, I guess. Now part of that's just because of fatigue, news fatigue during the election times. I'm going to see if I can find this in the history. This guy, I see him all the time in shorts. Here he is. Ryan McBeth. Very intelligent guy and knows he's got a pretty reasonable head about him. He seems like he's fairly decent in terms of what he, you know, some of the information he has, some of the background that he has in intelligence, and he does a lot of research on stuff. He's very good with analytical stuff. But there have been some things that I've heard him say. Now, he went after this one guy. What was the guy's name? There's a guy who has a channel that always just it was a regular video, maybe. No, I think what it was. Well, I need to watch that again. What did I do with that? Let's put that in the watch later. There we go. Shorts yesterday. Shorts. Let's see what else we have on here. He goes over. There's another guy who has this channel. He goes through a lot of stuff that talks about a lot of different things. Where'd he go here? And he debunks a whole bunch of stuff about the military-industrial complex. And, of course, Ryan tries to debunk everything this guy says about the military-industrial complex. The problem with this is that the military-industrial complex does exist. And Ryan McBeth tries to say it doesn't exist, when in reality, yes, it does exist. But there is that must have been a regular video apparently from him because it wasn't a short. Yeah, here it is. Johnny Harris lied in his military spending video. Johnny Harris has, there's like 9 things at least that Johnny Harris had in this video about military spending that was completely wrong. It's true. The one thing that Ryan McBeth won't talk about is black bag funding. Black bag funding accounts for a huge amount of the military budget, and we don't know where it's going. There's no account for it. You can look up all the things that are paid for, all the things, you know, all the things that are in the budget and all the line items that you can go through the whole thing all you want. There are what they call black bag funding that is not seen. He didn't mention the fact that the Pentagon was missing, was it $2 billion? Maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was $80 billion. Some ridiculous amount of money that the Pentagon spending was gone. They didn't know what happened to it. So let's see what that is. Pentagon audit. Let's see if I can find where this was. The shocking secret about the Pentagon's failed $824 billion audit. $824 billion that they couldn't figure out what happened to it. Keep failing audit. This just keeps going on and on over here. It's 2 years ago, the Pentagon failed an audit. This is the most recent one. This is a day ago. It would be interesting to listen to that. I might just put that in my watch later as well. Just do that. Save to watch later. There you go. I'll find out what's more about that. Of course, this is another guy that just got a guy with a laptop doing a video. But interesting stuff. There's just so much more spending than we realize, and it's a lot of it's hidden. They got ways of stacking money all over the place. And of course, this is all they're playing the shell games with billions of dollars. Used to be millions of dollars that was a big deal, and now it's billions of dollars. And it's now, of course, now we're getting to the trillions because the value of the dollar keeps going down. So they just keep moving the decimal point over. We have so many things going on. What is that? Well, that's kind of interesting. I got to stop looking at that. We have there's too many things that are distracting for me from somebody with ADD. Biden is. They're saying this is one thing I want to talk about. I'll get to it eventually. We don't have any advertisements in this on this show, so you have to put up with some of my stammering here because I have so many things. It's like a shotgun this morning. So many things to talk about. So everybody's blaming Joe for the Kamala debacle. If you remember, right after the debate, Joe was digging in, doubling down, saying he was going to run. He can beat Trump. He can beat him before. He can beat him again. Blah, 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 blah. Of course, I don't think he even knew how ridiculously corrupt the election was. He just thinks he thinks he actually got 181 million votes, I guess, that people showed up from nowhere. People that didn't even exist showed up to vote for him. And he thinks that was all real. So when they called him in for the meeting, said, you're going to step up, whoever it was that behind the scenes there, I'm assuming, Nancy and some other people were making the calls, having the meetings with him, saying, Joe, you got to step down or we're going to do this. We're going to expose you, make you resign, which they're probably still going to do that anyway. I'm guessing they're going to make him resign. They claimed that they were going to have him step out of the race and they were going to have an open primary. Their plan was that there would be an open primary. So the DNC would just have an open primary really quickly and they would just get it over with and put somebody in. I think they were planning on Gavin Newsom. He was the popular guy. Probably would have been Gavin Newsom and probably Gretchen Whitmer as the VP. That's my guess. That's just my guess. They may have come up with something different. I don't know. Who knows? Could have been Shapiro or somebody else. Who knows? So they had this plan, they're blaming Joe for this. Supposedly, 5 days after he announces he's stepping out of the race, or like maybe less than 5 days, he endorses Kamala Harris, throwing a monkey wrench into their plans to have Joe Biden has that kind of authority that he can just say who's going to be, just because he endorses her, all of a sudden she's the candidate? Is that the way it works? They have something on paper that says, well, if the president endorses someone else as the next nominee, that that's going to be the... And it was supposedly this is the left saying this, that it was Joe Biden's way of giving the DNC the middle finger for making him step down. So Kamala Harris now has become the middle finger, apparently. It's become his slap in the face to the DNC. I'm going to endorse her. Nobody wants her. I'm just going to endorse her, and then you're going to have to deal with it. Is that what this is about? That's what they're saying. How offensive is that to, first of all, to Kamala Harris? And secondly, who gave Joe the power to just pick the next candidate? Isn't that in the hands of the DNC chair? What is going on here? But they're claiming that that's what happened. Well, he endorsed her. Oh, before we could get get the everything set up, he just endorsed her, and now we're screwed because we're stuck with her. Really? Now, Joe Biden did seem incredibly happy and almost smug with this besmirched grin on his face. I don't understand exactly what happened there, but he did certainly seem he wasn't too worried about inviting Trump to the White House and had this grin on his face the whole time. I don't think he's happy about Biden being there or about Trump being there, but I think he's everybody on the right now is saying, I think Joe and Jill both voted for Trump, I think. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if they did. I don't know for sure, but it's... I would not be surprised. And... let's just say this. I know he was mad. And of course, I think he's still probably wandering around, stumbling around in the White House, trying to figure out, you know, what just happened here. Why is he not going to be in another 4 years? He probably doesn't know how much the number four is. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, so what we have here is a very tumultuous situation on the left. Everybody's still blaming each other. They're blaming whatever. Now they're trying to figure out how they're going to defeat this guy. The resistance. Oh, the resistance. We're going to go down in history as the greatest resistance ever. That's great. Resistance to what? What are you resisting, really? Oh, my rights. He took away my rights. No, he didn't take away your rights. He's going to ban abortion. No, he's not. I wish he would. He's not going to do that. So, I should be more upset that he's not going to do it than you are that he's going to do it, because if he's not going to do it, and yet you're upset that he's going to do it even though he's not going to do it. That's how unhinged these people are. They're making stuff up in their heads. And it's concerning because of just, you know, what these people are capable of doing. They become unhinged like this, thinking that they're doing something that they're justified in. They've got this self-righteous, holy self-righteousness going on, that they're motivated by this kind of thing and holier-than-thou kind of mentality, which is very dangerous. You can commit all kinds of atrocities when you think that you're, get yourself believing that you're saving the world. So, in the meantime, we have this cabinet being put together, which is, I think, a very interesting cabinet in and of itself. Department of the Interior, this guy that was the governor of Idaho someplace. I think it was Idaho or Montana, maybe. I don't know. I think apparently he's the crown jewel in this entire cabinet thing. He's really quite an impressive guy with regard to issues with the interior drilling. Getting the whole energy sector back on track again. So this should be a very interesting time. I think he's got, I guess Trump walked into a UFC tournament, to a UFC fight with, I guess, Speaker Johnson was there. Now, I don't know how much, they expected to lose the House. And they still have, like, they have a majority in the House, they have a majority in the Senate. And of course, Mitch McConnell has, I don't think he's said anything about, since the election, other than we're going to have a vote, a secret vote, as quickly as we can to get this guy in. I'm not going to talk about it much, because we've got to get our people in there. The establishment has to maintain power of the Senate. I don't know if he can talk that clearly or not. I don't know what he said. Mitch McConnell hasn't been doing any press conferences that I'm aware of, or hasn't been saying anything publicly, probably because he just freezes up and can't really talk, because he's pretty much just a walking zombie. He is worse, folks. He is worse than Joe Biden. He can't function as well as Joe Biden can. It is the people around McConnell right now who are doing everything for him, calling all the shots. And of course, you have to understand his sphere of power is huge. There's a large number of people working for him in McConnell's administration. They are all trying to protect their jobs. They're trying to keep from losing their positions. They know that they're a sinking ship. They know that they're going to go down. They've got to keep the establishment there, because if they can maintain the establishment in the Senate, they might be able to switch over to the next Senate leader, start working, doing keep their jobs there. Rick Scott comes in, or somebody else, Scott, whoever all these other guys are that they're talking about having. We need a new House Majority Leader in the Senate Majority Leader, in the Senate Majority Leader, not House Majority, whatever. McConnell's got to go. He's going to be the lead there, which is, I don't know if he's going to retire this year or not. I haven't heard about anything about him retiring anytime soon, so we'll see what happens. Now, with the overwhelming thing, of course, all it's going to take is for the news media to come out and say that Trump just said this today. Well, we can't support a man who's going to say that. So we're not going to approve anybody in his cabinet. Now, the problem they've got here right now is people like Lindsey Graham, who if they don't vote in favor of Matt Gaetz, the problem we've got here is that Lindsey Graham voted for Merrick Garland. How are you feeling about that now, Lindsey? That was okay. That was okay to give the Democrat his guy. Now, Lindsey has come out and publicly said, the president deserves to have who serve who he wants to have serve. We should approve everybody he wants to have serve. Okay, let's see if this actually happens. They don't like Matt Gaetz because Matt Gaetz is going to clean house there. Matt Gaetz has the dirt on a lot of these people. And of course, always comes the sexual allegations. Well, he had allegations of doing this with a minor and blah, 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 blah. And he sold, trafficking and all this other crap that was going on. Okay, why didn't he ever get convicted? Why wasn't there ever any action? They never went to trial. Why never, nothing ever happened with all these allegations? Sources say. So Pete Hegseth, the guy who's going to be the chief defense, whatever he is. I think it's General Milley's place. So he's going to take over this position, military. All of a sudden, he has sexual allegations. Now, if you don't forget that Donald Trump had all kinds of allegations as well. As soon as early on in the 2020 election season, the primary, when a certain governor from Florida was possibly going to run, DeSantis. All of a sudden, sexual allegations started popping up all over the place. It dropped out. Oh, it got really quiet. Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, sexual allegations. Then there was J.D. Vance. Oh, sexual. Every time, folks, it's a pattern. They always find somebody to come out and do something that knew somebody 50 years ago. By the way, J.D. Vance, the more I learn about this guy, I learned some more things overnight. I kind of heard, you know, in a nutshell, his whole life story, how what happened to him throughout his. He wasn't born J.D. Vance, by the way. It wasn't his name. His name has been changed several times. I haven't heard exactly why he changed his religious affiliation at one point. I'm not sure. There's a reason for that. I'm not sure what happened there either. But this guy has been through a lot. He beat the odds. To think that he is in the position he's in now today, there statistically is, he had about a 0.00001 chance of this happening for him. He has overcome so many things in his life. Unbelievable. And for him to be a normal functioning human being, capable of the things he's capable of, articulate the things he's achieved, things he's done, is absolutely astounding to me. This coalition, by the way, with this is all these guys showed up at the UFC fight. The whole entourage was there. Elon was there. This just gives me a huge amount of. I've always talked about Elon and him not being the. He's not in the micromanaging. You can't be doing as many things as he's doing and be a micromanager. The capacity that he has to be a leader, to be able to lead teams, to find the right people and put them in place, to do the jobs, to get things done. He's not the one making all the phone calls and doing all the dirty work, doing the hands-on in the trenches work. Now, he will. He will go, I guess, if he finds out that Tesla is having issues, he will go there and sleep on the sofa until the issues are dealt with and work through it. He'll get his hands dirty, don't get me wrong. But the fact that he's doing so many different things, he's in the middle of all this stuff, innovations that are happening. It's not just him, and it's not just one company where he happens to have gotten lucky and found a few people that could you know, map out and plan out and execute all the ideas that he has. He has multiple businesses basically going on, each and every one of them in and of themselves, functioning very healthy. And that only comes from having, you have to be leading teams of people who are exceptional in their fields. Look at Twitter. Twitter's all of a sudden, it's a profitable, slimmed down version of what it was. Even in spite of all the flack that it's getting, all these celebrities now are pulling out. I'm canceling my membership with X. Now what they're doing? Wasn't Whoopi? Who was it that did this recently? What's her name? The blonde haired Joy Reid from MSNBC, from CNN, wherever she's from, MSNBC. Who one of those two? Well, folks, I went ahead and did it. I canceled my ex. I got off Twitter X, whatever you call it. I got her canceled her X account. She shows herself doing it, canceling X. Now, she suspended her account. She did not cancel it. She flat out even couldn't be honest in this whole thing. She says, "Well, I didn't want to cancel it because I didn't want somebody grabbing my name and using it for nefarious purposes." No, that's not the way it works. You suspend your account. And of course, just being off of Twitter, I mean, I have a Twitter account. The News According to Me is on Twitter. I don't use, I haven't even logged on to it for 6 months, probably. I should be, but I don't. And I just haven't been using it. I think now that things are kind of switched around, I probably should really be getting back on there. Probably should be doing some live. I can do Twitter Live, I guess, or X Live or whatever it is. But the thing that is disgusting with it, with what she said, was that she didn't want anybody using it for nefarious reasons. That's why she stayed on there, because she's got like 1.5 million followers or whatever she's got. I don't know what she's got. There's a lot of people who just follow her just because they're trying to, you know, just, I would follow her just to find out what kind of crazy things she's saying. It's not because I'm a supporter. Some people forget that they, especially in the news media, they think that they've got these followers, which means people like them. That's not necessarily the case. They probably follow Donald Trump. They're probably only on True Social following on him on there just to monitor what he's saying. It's not because they like him. It doesn't mean they support you just because you have all these followers. But they tout that as something to be, you know, as part of their credibility. So she says this. She says she's deleting her account on X. Well, good for you. One of the biggest platforms out there, you're going to delete yourself from. This is kind of like Kamala Harris not going to the Joe Rogan podcast. Now, you know, everybody jumping on her about this. I want to get back to this too as well. They're all jumping on her spending $100,000 to put together a set so that they could have this one podcaster go in and do their show there instead of having Kamala go to her and do her show at her place. In her defense, let me just say this. How much would have it cost to have the vice president flown to a place with all the security that they need, you know, especially being candidate, presidential candidate, flying there in an airplane with all the Secret Service that has to go before, has to do all the stuff that has to happen, the cost of all of that. Now, this happens all the time, every day anyway. It's not like it's not in the budget. There are people already being paid. But what is the expense of doing that, to get her moved from D.C. to this person's location, do the podcast, and then leave and do everything else, and just everything that has to happen there, let alone the time out of, you know, she, and her time is, you know, she had a limited amount of time. So she wanted to have Joe Rogan come to her and not her go to Joe Rogan. Now, this is the stupid part about this is, it probably didn't. Everybody's all up in arms. Oh, she spends $100,000 on a set. So you spent the $100,000 set. You probably had to spend $250,000 by the time it was all said and done to get that job done. But just the set alone was $100,000. So you got everything else involved as well, which is going to cost you some money. Now, sadly, once you get done, that set's got to be torn down and everything else. It's good. So it's another whole other issue. So the costs of this, I don't think anybody was sitting back there with a pencil saying, hey, you know, it's going to be cheaper if we just fly her here, set up, you know. I don't think that happened. I think they still spent more money, let alone the fact that it probably would have taken, I mean, somebody's got to build that set. Somebody's got to put that whole thing together instead of her just going there and being done. So time-wise, I'm not sure they saved anything there either. But this is all just, there is a little bit overbalanced in terms of the way that people picked on her about that whole thing. There are a lot of expenses in traveling the vice president around the country. However, they blew so much on campaign. Now, they did find out one, I think they discovered one thing. Just because Cardi B and all these, I don't know, all these different people that they had supporting them, all these, hopefully these entertainers figured out that, you know what, you're here for our entertainment. You're here to amuse us. We like the way you act. We like the characters you play. We like those things. We don't care about your politics. We don't care about who you're endorsing as a candidate. We don't care. You live in fantasy land. You live in la la land, playing people that you're not who you are. And somehow that's supposed to give you some kind of credibility when you tell us, well, I'm going to vote for this person because, you know, I'd like to vote for this person. Because they stand for all these things, you know, whatever. Well, good for you. Thanks for your opinion. I appreciate it. And go away now. I'll vote for whoever I want to because that's the way it works. I just received an Amazon package that I just ordered yesterday. Okay, I just ordered it. Wow, that's pretty amazing. There it is. It's got a picture of it on the porch there. I just threw it on the porch, took a picture. Interesting stuff. So, now the dog is all worked up about it. So, folks, I know the show's gone on kind of long. I've done a lot of rambling today. Tomorrow I'm going to have some audio of some of these wacky, lunatic people who've said some things and some of the things that are being said by the possible Trump administration folks. For one, Matt Gaetz. I just want to close with this. Matt Gaetz is probably going to receive a recess appointment. They're all talking like he'll never be. Of course, Donald Trump was supposed to never be president again. Wasn't supposed to be president to begin the first time. Now they're saying Matt Gaetz is never going to be the attorney general. He will be the attorney general if they do go forward with this and put a recess appointment in, which is what will happen. They're going to get a recess appointment, put him in until they get him approved or whatever they do. But he may end up being the. I think what's going to happen is he's going to be put in as the attorney general on a recess appointment, and he's going to end up getting confirmed because he's going to do an incredibly good job. He is going to rout out some people. I think he's going to go after some people. And I think we're going to see a whole different kind of AG this time. And it's going to be really interesting. And of course, now Trump doesn't have to worry about another campaign. He doesn't have to worry about getting elected again. He's done. So he can do whatever he wants to this time without having to worry about re-election. There's a little bit of concern about making the Republican Party look bad. But I think he's going to make the Republican Party look very good in this case. I think things are going to be fixed. They're going to do some things here that I think we're going to be thankful, grateful that have happened. And I think we're going to see a very different country in the next 2 to 4 years. I think already we're starting to see enough that is, I think we're kind of on the right track. People are getting engaged with what's happening. They're willing to work. They're willing to work hard. They're willing to be a part of something greater than themselves. It's just going to take a leader that's willing to help us to see that vision, to get that future together as a people, out of many, one kind of thing. We'll see what happens in the next 2 months before we get up. Actually, it's almost 2 months until the inauguration, so we'll see how it goes. Folks, continue to pray. Pray for the safety of those around him and him and himself and leaders and everybody involved. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for listening.